Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll go in-depth with Minnesota's Department of Military Affairs. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
This week, I honor and recognize the unsung heroes of the Minnesota National Guard, the civilian employees of the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. Most Minnesotans know that when there is a state emergency such as a flood, fire, blizzard, or tornado, the citizen soldiers and airmen of the Minnesota National Guard are available to assist first responders. But what most Minnesotans do not see is the hard work that goes on behind the scenes by our state civil servants. The men and women of the Minnesota National Guard are supported by a group of passionate state employees who coordinate critical functions such as finance, human resources, public safety, facility management, and logistics. During my tenure as Adjutant General, I have seen time and time again the dedication, commitment, and rapid response of these individuals. While they don't all wear a military uniform, these great civilian Minnesota Department of Military Affairs employees are indeed the backbone of the success of the Guard. On behalf of the nearly 14,000 soldiers and airmen of the Minnesota National Guard, I offer our thanks to all who work so diligently in the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. Thank you for listening. Today's veterans are talented, team-oriented, and technologically savvy. Help good business get better by hiring today's veteran.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As the General told us, the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs is comprised of and includes the military forces of the state of Minnesota, the Office of the Adjutant General, all military reservations, military installations, armories, air bases, and facilities owned or controlled by the state for military purposes, and civilians employed by the state for the administration of the military. Joining us now is the Executive Director of the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, retired Colonel Don Kerr. Colonel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be here.
Colonel, you had quite a career in the military before you became executive director. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, Tom. I served 29 years in uniform before becoming a civilian employee of the Department of Military Affairs. And I started as a private and was commissioned through ROTC in the National Guard. Went on active duty for 5 years and then came back and became a full-time member of the National Guard in 1990 and served in a number of positions, including a deployment to Bosnia, and retired as a colonel in 2008 and then came over as a state employee as a planner. And about a year ago, I was selected as the executive director of the department. I'm the senior civilian executive, and I kind of function as the bridge between the military side and the state civilian component of the department.
And, sir, can you tell us a little bit, what does the executive director do?
Well, I oversee the activities of our civilian employees. I also oversee the execution of a master cooperative agreement between the National Guard Bureau and the Adjutant General that basically is a services contract that the state of Minnesota provides certain services to the federal government that they are not able to provide because of manning caps and things like that. So I coordinate those activities. I also interact with the governor's office on behalf of the agency and support General Nash in whatever activities he needs me to partake in the legislative side as well.
And can you give us a synopsis of what the Department of Military Affairs does?
Well, basically, we oversee the National Guard, the military forces of the state, which today is only the National Guard. There is provision in statute for a state militia as well, but right now that's not active. And that's about it.
Which is a lot bigger job than it sounds
like. It's a lot bigger job than it sounds like because there's a lot of detail involved and a lot of administration and a lot of logistics involved in making everything happen.
So, Colonel Kerr, the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs is the civilian component. It would seem to me that, much like some other things in the, on the military side, the Air and the Army side, people get promoted and they come and go and they retire and so forth, but that civilian component is kind of some stability that handles a lot of the jobs and the facilities and things?
Very much so, Tom. We have a lot of employees who have been with the agency for many, many years doing very much the same types of jobs within the same realm, a lot in our facilities management office, a lot in our environmental section, and then in the headquarters at the state, processing payroll and planning and executing the state budget for the agency as well.
We're speaking with retired Colonel Don Kerr, who is the Executive Director of the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, how big is the department?
So the Department of Military Affairs has about 300 state employees beyond the 1,500 military federal employees and the 13,000 traditional members of the National Guard. Most of those employees, the 300 that I'm speaking of now, are partially or totally federally reimbursed. So it's really a fairly small percentage of the National Guard or the Department of Military Affairs that is truly 100% state funded. Only about 30 of us that are really state employees completely that aren't either reimbursed or paid partially by the federal government.
How does the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs differ from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
Our activities are solely oriented on support of the National Guard and sustainment of our facilities and the infrastructure, whereas the Department of Veterans Affairs really has an outreach task for veterans of all services and all components and all eras, and assisting them in finding benefits and making sure that they're well taken care of.
So your sole focus is the Minnesota National Guard and making sure that they get everything they need and you have that continuity and support level for them.
Yes, sir, and that we're able to accomplish the missions that are laid upon us by the federal government, the state government, and our community mission as well.
So you must spend a lot of time coordinating things with General Nash and all his staff.
Yes, indeed. We have a fairly strict battle rhythm that we follow that we participate in fully and in our briefings and our planning sessions to integrate into the military side of the department.
Colonel, all your years in the Minnesota National Guard and in the military must have set you in a perfect place to take over as executive director.
Well, I'd like to think so, Tom, but I got to tell you, I served a lot of time as a full-time member of the Minnesota National Guard, and I still didn't know very much about the state side of the agency until I actually became a part of it. And it's been a very interesting learning experience for the past 4 years. As I've followed this path, there's more about it that I didn't know than I did.
Well, you spent some time with the 34th Infantry Division and not necessarily at headquarters. And so I suppose you don't see every aspect of who's working together and how they're doing everything to make sure the Minnesota National Guard can function properly.
Well, yeah, and I guess some would argue that if everything's working well, we wouldn't see any of that action behind the curtain, and I think that's an indicator of how well our state employees have really stepped up to the task of supporting the National Guard. So most of us don't even know that they're there, and that's a indicator of success, in my opinion.
Colonel, do you get involved in any of the legislation that's being worked on at the Capitol?
Yes, I do. I'm the agency's lead agent for state government matters. We have a relatively light agenda this year. We typically have a pretty light agenda with the legislature because most of our activities and statute are laid out that they're fairly predictable, and we're also well supported on the federal side, so we don't have a lot of requirements on the state side. But we do have one major initiative this year, and we're trying to update the Minnesota Code of Military Justice. And the Minnesota Code, each state actually has their own because of the way that the National Guard is organized in statute and in guidance from the federal level. Some of the states, including our own, don't mirror the Uniform Code of Military Justice exactly. And the American Bar Association has come out about 2 years ago with a model code. And our prime legislative initiative this year is to go to the legislature and try to bring our Minnesota Code of Military Justice more into alignment with the Uniform Code of Military Justice on the federal side. And that's really to provide more consistency for our leaders as they use that code to enforce discipline in their ranks.
I didn't realize that that there was more than just the federal UCMJ. I imagine if there are differences between the state and federal, that could cause some serious problems.
It absolutely can, and a lot of it is a convenience factor for our leaders who become accustomed to working with the Uniform Code of Military Justice when they're in a Title X federal status. they kind of expect to have similar tools available to them on the state side. And that's what we're trying to do, is bring those close, more closely into alignment.
That should be an interesting process.
I'm sure it will be.
Colonel, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to meet Colonel Larry Herkey, who takes care of some of your facilities. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back with more on Minnesota's Department of Military Affairs. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. As you know, we've been talking with the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs today, and we have the executive director with us, Colonel Don Kerr. And Don, we're joined now by Colonel Larry Herkey, which is, he is your Deputy Facilities Management Officer.
Yes, sir. Colonel Herkey has had a long, distinguished military career, and he serves as our Deputy Facilities Management Officer at Camp Ripley. And he'll be here to talk today about the various facilities we have around the state.
Colonel Herkey, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good afternoon.
Sir, I understand you're the Deputy Facilities Management Officer for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. Can you tell us what all that involves?
I work daily with the management of facilities throughout the state of Minnesota. We manage the budget here for both the sustainment of the facilities and new construction. And it's just a challenging job. It includes facilities both outstate in greater Minnesota and facilities here at Camp Ripley.
I understand you're up at Camp Ripley this week working in one of the best facilities in the United States.
I think so. I've been to many of them being mobilized and going through other guard locations and active duty, being on active duty myself, and I would say we have probably one of the most beautiful locations and provides a wide array of opportunities here at Camp Ripley for training.
And the one full-time resident up there, Colonel St. Salver's, got a nice place to live, doesn't he?
That he does, and my job is to maintain his facility also, so that he keeps me busy also beyond all the other requirements.
So, Colonel Herkey, do you take care of all of the armories as well then?
Yes, we do. We have 64 armories that are located in 64 different communities in Minnesota, and we're responsible for those facilities along with 11 field maintenance shops, which are located, sometimes co-located in the same location, sometimes in other communities that the armories are actually located.
Sir, I would imagine that the age of those armories, some of them are pretty old, but some are probably newer. What kind of shape are all our facilities in?
Well, we got, just to give you an idea, our newest facility is just under a year old, and our oldest facility is just coming up on its 100th birthday. The armory in New Ulm actually is our oldest facility that's been operational, and our average age is about 42 and a half years old. And it gets to be a little more of a challenge with those facilities as they get older. We have a lot of opportunities to have to go into, as you would well probably imagine, a facility that's 100 years old to meet code requirements, fire, ADA, Americans with Disability Act, and some of the other requirements gets to be a lot of requirements for a little bit of money.
Sure. I'm curious, do our guard units do some of the maintenance? And I would imagine a lot of the other maintenance or remodeling is done by independent contractors.
Most of it's done through state contracting that we do, especially in the outstate areas. There are some of the facilities here on Camp Ripley that we were fortunate enough to get troop labor in the form of engineer units that will come in and actually help us, assist us. It meets their training requirements, and it also helps us by doing that, we can just be able to pay for the materials, and they actually get the opportunity to do some real-world stuff, which really helps them out for their job books and meeting their annual requirements.
Colonel, you must have a list of projects as long as your arm every year.
Just about. We seems like it never gets shorter. And, our challenge is to, how do we most efficiently go after what we have, both active things that we have to take care of, like roofs that may be leaking, and things that are a little bit more long term, maybe a unit that's outgrown its facility or no longer the unit has something new, such as we're getting a lot of simulations now that are coming into the armories, and it seems like there's always a lot of new items that need to be accounted for and taken care of, and our job is to be able to weigh the different requirements and come up with a plan for the budget for each one of the years.
We're speaking with Colonel Larry Herkey, Deputy Facilities Management Officer for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, I would guess that you have multiple sources of funds to use for maintenance and construction of facilities. Is it state money or federal money or both?
Let's first talk about maintenance. And the maintenance side, it normally is always a mixture of federal and state funding. The federal money is called Sustainment Restoration and Modernization Funds, and those are provided to each one of the states based on square footage that you actually have in your inventory. And then we also receive state funding in the form of what's called asset preservation. And the big challenge that we have is that to do a renovation project, you need to have the right percentage of those funds mixed together. And in this case, for most of our facilities, that's half and half. And then be able to have both streams of funding come together and be able to match in the same year so that you can get a renovation project under contract. But it's a challenge. I think every time one part of the puzzle changes, then it seems like it changes two or three other projects. But those are the two main areas in the maintenance. In the new construction, we also receive federal funding in the form of military construction funding, and that comes for new facilities at about 75% of what the actual cost of the project is. The balance of the cost for a new facility then comes from either state or local sources. And what we do is we try to nominate those buildings that are beyond normal life cycle repairs that need the major additions, such as the New Ulm Armory would be one example of one that's getting up there and that may be considered, you know, sometime here in the future. But so we try to look at that. And the new facilities that are is a little bit more rare as far as us being able to get funding for that, but we're always competing and trying to do our best to get additional funding to come into the state.
Colonel, with all the multiple deployments we've had over the last 10 years and more pressure being put on the National Guard units to provide support on a federal basis, does that make your funding a little easier in order to have your troops and your facilities up to par?
Oh, we saw a surge in funding, you know, right as after 9/11, and in that period there was, especially in the area of, I think, some of the ranges that we use for tanks and machine gun firing and small arms firing here on Camp Ripley, that seemed and it still seemed in a lot of ways that it's still been fairly there's been a lot of funding that's been given to that, I guess, to make the units more ready to be able to go out and do their federal missions. The amounts for new construction in some of those areas have been increased from a standpoint that a lot of the units are going through major changes in the way that they're structured and so forth, and we've been fortunate enough to be able to get some federal funding to assist us in those areas. So I would say yes, it has been allowed us to do a lot more here, I guess, since 9/11 based on the funding that's been available.
Colonel, we have to take a short break. I hope you can stay with us for the balance of the show.
I will do that.
Now it's time for Hire Minnesota's Heroes. With an unemployment rate twice the average, Minnesota veterans are facing an unemployment crisis. The good news is that you can help. Each week we'll feature one veteran story and ask you to help Hire Minnesota's Heroes. This week's veteran is Leah Yang. Leah, welcome to the show. Can you tell us about yourself?
Yes. My name is Leah Yang, and I served in the National Guard for 7 years, and before that I was from active duty for 4 years. And I just graduated from MRC about manufacturing and also soldering, and I learned something about computer and manufacturing math. And before that, I also have a Bachelor of Science, so The work I'm looking for is about laboratory technician and quality inspection.
Lee, I hope you find something soon. Lee and hundreds of others are ready to work hard on the next mission. Can we hire Minnesota's heroes? To connect with Leah, contact the North St. Paul Workforce Center at 651-779-5407. That's 651-779-5407. Or to learn more, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with more on the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. The number one request of deployed soldiers, sailors, and airmen is, take care of my family. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation does just that. We take care of military families. The foundation helps military families when a family has an unexpected financial crisis. We have replaced or repaired many furnaces and appliances, as well as fixed cars to help get children to school, daycare, or the doctor. And we've paid for the transportation and lodging for the family to visit their soldier in the hospital that may be thousands of miles from home. We help military families with many types of financial needs. Military families make many sacrifices. One way you can show your appreciation and say thank you is with your financial support. Please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org. Another way is to buy support our troop license plates. Yes, we take care of military families.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and in today's show, we've been talking about Minnesota's Department of Military Affairs, and we'll have more of that in a moment. But now it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
Shortly after Veterans Day, Pheasants Forever announced its plans for a Minnesota Veterans Wildlife Area project. The purpose of this project is to honor Minnesota veterans and military members and permanently secure a public wildlife area in honor of their service. This initiative by Pheasants Forever is an excellent example of our community and state's support and commitment to the men and women who have fought and served our state and nation. Many of our veterans in Minnesota enjoy hunting and fishing for recreation as well as therapy. This program honors Minnesota heroes while preserving our state's natural wildlife resources for generations to come. The Minnesota Veterans Wildlife Area will serve as a permanent reminder of the sacrifices made by our servicemen and women.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now is another member of the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, David Lean, who is the State Military Operations Planner. David, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Can you tell me what the State Military Operations Planner does?
Well, I'm kind of responsible to help support the National Guard through operational planning, making sure that the state side of our department synchronizes with the National Guard during state active duty events or any kind of catastrophe planning.
Now, do you play a role in providing support to local authorities?
Yes, we provide a lot of support to the local authorities, and we do about 6 to 10 different state active duty events each year with 1 to 2 EMACs, and that is really a state-to-state response where the National Guard goes to another state to help support another state in domestic operations. We've got a long history of National Guard support to the state, going back to 1873 when blizzards caused the death of about 70 people, and then through the locust swarms that consumed a lot of the croplands and kind of really devastated the early settlers. There's been a long history, like I said, of National Guard support, and over the past few years, we've had 25,000 man days of work that the National Guard has supported the state of Minnesota. And a lot of that has to do with dike patrols, providing equipment movement around the state, aerial water drops on forest fires, and providing a lot of support to the domestic authorities.
So, Dave, when we're talking about the Minnesota National Guard, they have their federal duties when they're called up to go on deployments, and then the state duties, which are usually emergencies, blizzards, snow, fire, those kind of things. So when the Guard is asked to help, then you get involved in the planning and the delivery of that help. Is that what you do?
Yes, correct. I'm kind of coordinate those activities. So when a National Guard under normal, what we call Title 32, would be a federal status, that's their normal status. And when they become a state responsibilities, when they go into state active duty status, and that's when the state starts providing that support to the National Guard. So what we end up doing is providing all the logistical support, the payroll support, and anything that the National Guard does not have in their normal inventory. We go out and contract for that, and we always want to make sure that we live off the local economy during these events, because a lot of times it's right in that community that was impacted.
Now, David, can you walk us through this? If a local authority has a problem, how can they request help from the governor for the or directly from the National Guard? How does this all work?
Sure. You know, every event is really a local impact, and it starts at the local level. And when the local authorities have consumed all the resources they have, police, fire, emergency response, what they do is they start asking the county to provide resources. And once the county has exhausted their resources, they call the state for help, and they call this. And the way it happens is the county sheriffs of the 87 counties, or the mayors of the cities of the first class, which would be more Minneapolis, St. Paul, Duluth, and Rochester. They can make an emergency request for assistance from the National Guard by calling the Department of Homeland Security Emergency Management. At that time, we start working with the Department of Homeland Security Emergency Management and the governor's office to create an executive order requesting assistance from the National Guard, and then we start our support to those local authorities.
And if the governor approves a call-up to help a local authority of some kind, then the soldiers and airmen that are called up are on, that's the state pays for that, correct?
Correct. They become kind of state employees for payroll and workers' compensation purposes, and they become the responsibility of the state. So the state does start incurring those costs and making sure that these soldiers and airmen are paid, that they're taken care of, they're housed, and they're fed properly.
So you've got a process to go through to request the help, but it's ultimately up to the governor to call out the guard.
Yep. The governor does take control of the National Guard at that time. So he's the commander-in-chief of the National Guard during emergency operations.
I know we have things that happen every year. Every spring, it seems like we have some flooding. And I know that the governor and the adjutant general usually every year are out around the state trying to find out or predict or try to see what kind of flooding problems we're going to have. So is that do you get out ahead of some of these recurring problems and try to plan for those as well?
Yes, we do. Starting in January, we're already planning for the spring flooding events, and also with the fire potential that we have. A lot of times it's either we're going to be flooding one year or it's going to be fire the next year. We never know what we're going to be kind of tasked to do, so we're always in that planning and looking forward approach to making sure that we are ready to go and that we can support the National Guard whenever they're called out to duty.
We're speaking with David Lean, the State Military Operations Planner for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. David, how long have you been in the position of the planner?
Yeah, I've been working for the agency for about 5 years. I had no prior military background, so I was kind of thrown into the military real quickly and had to learn fast. My first event was the 2009 event, and it was a huge flood up in the Red River Valley. So I was responsible to make sure that I had to do all the contracting and support to the National Guard. And the National Guard is, whenever it's called out on state active duty, becomes a very expensive proposition. The military's not cheap, and so we want to make sure that we're always the last one in and the first one out.
What's the most unusual thing you've seen in 5 years that you were called up for?
The most unusual thing I would say would be the 2009 flood event. It was the city of Moorhead and Fargo were both going to be evacuated, and there was a lot of activity associated with retirement homes and evacuating a lot of older people with big military vehicles. And the hardest part was going to be, how do we get these older people into these big vehicles? And so we were buying ladders wherever we could buy them.
David, we've been talking on this program for a couple of years ago now about the readiness status of our Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen. In the last 10, 11 years, they've trained a lot and for the federal missions and so forth, but they also spend a lot of time getting ready for these recurring state missions, don't they?
They do. We do a lot of planning. Again, we're already gearing up for the next spring flooding event. And we also do a lot of planning while we're out on these events. For instance, the 2010 flooding up in the Red River Valley, a lot of the National Guard units were actually training the civil authorities on how to plan, and they were actually executing some evacuation drills and doing other kinds of activities to make sure that the local authorities are ready to go when it's needed.
David, just one final question before we go to break. Can the Minnesota National Guard be reinforced by other services, other states?
Yes, they can. There was passed legislation here a couple years ago that allows now for the active Army Reserve to actually supplement the National Guard during some large emergency responses. And that's really important in Minnesota because one of the capabilities that we're short on is engineering capabilities. And there is an Army Reserve unit right in the middle of the state that is a heavy engineering company. And so we do have a new capability that we were not allowed to bring to the fight. And the National Guard also uses a lot of emergency management assistance compacts, which are these EMAC events that are state to state. So our National Guard can go support other states. For instance, Minnesota has supported North Dakota and South Dakota the last 3 years using these EMACs to help their National Guard respond to their emergencies.
Fascinating. Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. We'll be back in a moment with more on the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs right here on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us.
Fellow veterans and supporters, this is Lee Alfords, Department Commander of Minnesota Veterans of Foreign Wars, inviting you to join us for a ride for healing starting next Memorial Day. The week-long ride kicks off May 27th in St. Paul, covers the four corners of the state, and is capped off by a June 1st rally weekend in the Brainerd Lakes area. Proceeds will support the National Vietnam Veterans Memorial Education Center. For more information, visit rideforhealing.com. That's rideforhealing.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been joined today by three members of the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, retired Colonel Don Kerr, the Executive Director, Dave Lean from the State Military Operations Planner, and Colonel Larry Herkey, the Deputy Facilities Management Officer. Colonel Kerr, from everything we've learned today, it seems as though the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs is there to support the Minnesota National Guard in all of its missions, federal and state, and to make sure that you've coordinated everything and help support them. Is that correct, sir?
Tom, that's exactly correct. We exist to support the National Guard so that they can carry out their federal mission to fight and win the nation's wars, their state mission to respond to domestic emergencies and support civil authorities, and their community mission to improve the lives of people in their communities. And working along with all of the other agencies of state government that we find ourselves intertwined with in almost everything we do, that's really what our purpose is.
Colonel Kerr, how do you pull together all of those agencies? We've got all the local authorities and the state authorities and emergency preparedness. We've got all these resources out there. Who coordinates all of that?
Well, it takes a lot of work on behalf of guys like Dave Lean and on behalf of some of our military members in our Joint Operations Center that are involved in planning and coordinating with other agencies and planning and executing domestic operations.
Dave, I think you had an example of this we were talking about off the air. Duluth had a big problem with the flood last year. And can you tell us who coordinated all of that and what was asked for and what did they get?
Yeah, during the Duluth flooding this summer, it was a pretty significant flood event. And one of the requests that was made directly to the National Guard was requests for trucks and excavators for debris removal that was causing additional flooding. And of course, we put that off to Homeland Security Emergency Management so that they could coordinate the resources best. And what they determined is the Department of Transportation actually had that equipment locally that could be there faster and provide that that activity a lot easier than the National Guard would be to supply all that equipment and manpower.
So instead of calling out the Minnesota National Guard, they used the MnDOT trucks and equipment to help solve the problem?
Correct, yep. It was a state-to-state. The state provided the equipment directly to the local authorities instead of the National Guard.
Colonel Herkey, you're the Deputy Facilities Management Officer. I know that we've had Colonel St. Salvador on the air, and Camp Ripley is quite a facility, but it's also used by the Minnesota MnDOT, and it's used by the Minnesota State Patrol. MnDOT's up there training, or they were up there last fall training their snowplow drivers, weren't they?
Yes, we see them here annually. They come in, and it's always nice when they leave because the parking lots are nice and smooth. They work the gravel and so forth out here as a substitute for the snow, and they spend some time in the classroom, and they spend the remainder of the time behind the wheel, but it's a great place for them to come here and train.
So there's a lot of agencies in Minnesota that work together quite closely all year round then, isn't there?
There is quite a few. In fact, we're working many initiatives to allow them to, have the right types of facilities and so forth. And one of those examples is the education addition that's under construction at this point and will be going up here in the next year and a half or 2 years. And it's a facility that was actually planned for both military and civilian use, and specifically those state agencies that come here regularly to Camp Ripley.
And Colonel Herkey, what initiatives or actions is the department taking to ensure the long-term sustainability and efficiency of your buildings?
Well, that's one area that we're really excited about, and it's part of the Adjutant General and the National Guard campaign plan here is to make sure we have sustainable infrastructure for now and into the future. What we've done is we've developed a sustainability plan that's modeled after both the aspects of the Minnesota B3 program, which is the buildings, benchmarks, and beyond, and the Department of Defense Net Zero programs. It has three main parts. One is reducing energy, which we've done a couple examples. Insulating many of the buildings we got are from 1950s. Done a lot of that, upgrading fixtures and adding digital controls. The second area is in the area of solid waste, where we've been able to divert from landfills, and we've been able to actually reuse materials, and we're looking at using materials to actually create energy as another option here at Camp Ripley. And the last area is in water consumption. We've been working that in different ways. You know, some of the easy ways is low-flow fixtures and so forth as we do our renovations, but we've been looking at other creative ways here on Camp Ripley of being able to reduce our consumption. We've been actually very successful in that area. And we look forward to being, I guess, a better neighbor for everyone and being more efficient in the way that we use our resources.
Colonel Curry, you've had a lot of activity out in Arden Hills lately. That's becoming quite a facility as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Tom. We're very proud of our facility at Arden Hills. We got big plans for it moving down the road. We've got another armory under construction up there right now, one that we opened just a couple of years ago. And on the long-term fight up the future years development plan on the federal side, we've got a very large armory, replacement armory to be built at Arden Hills that we're really looking forward to. They're in the design process of that right now, doing the planning. And it's really going to become a jewel in the crown in Minnesota as far as capability goes, to put a training area and some great facilities right in the metro area without having a huge impact on the population.
Colonel, we've learned on this show, talking to a lot of our Minnesota National Guard officers, that with the capabilities of Camp Ripley and now Arden Hills and so forth, we've been able to keep our National Guard troops closer to home while they're training up for deployments, and it helps with everything, doesn't it?
It really does, Tom. By having that capability, our soldiers can be that much more prepared so that when they do have to go to the mob station, they can focus on the tasks that they can't do here, and it really allows them to attain a higher level of mastery, which, of course, helps them come home safely in the end, and that's what it's all about, is getting the mission done and coming home safely.
You've really got to be proud of all the work that's been happening on Camp Ripley and Arden Hills, and can't imagine another state that's got two better facilities for training up their troops.
No, I don't think so, Tom, and also very proud of the fact that it really does go beyond that. Like what Colonel Herkey was talking about, and in answer to your question, we really think Camp Ripley is more than just a resource for our military forces, but the other state agencies that make use of the facilities up there, they can do things at Camp Ripley that they can't do off Camp Ripley safely, and it really is a huge resource for the people of Minnesota to have that capability there.
Colonel Kerr, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners about the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs?
You know, Tom, I think the only thing I'd really like to say in closing is just to hopefully we've educated folks a little bit about how much goes on behind the curtain to make the National Guard successful. And hopefully we've conveyed that it's kind of an interesting challenge because we have to meet all of the federal requirements and at the same time meet the state requirements and cater to our communities as well. So some very interesting challenges to cross all those levels of government at the same time and understand what those different requirements are, and some very interesting challenges that come about by that. It's very rewarding work.
Sounds like you're doing a great job. Keep up the good work, sir.
Thank you, sir.
That was Don Kerr, Larry Herkey, and David Lean from the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, retired Colonel Don Kerr, Colonel Larry Herkey, Dave Lean, Commissioner Larry Shalado, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we discover the programs available to help children of today's service members, and we'll hear about Minnesota's Veterans Wildlife Program. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.